It sounded like it was on. Now can you hear me? We get to talking to people sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. We give them book, chapter, and verse, and we never get around to teaching them why they need to appreciate it. And so what I'd like to do here for the next, it might be 23, 24 minutes this morning, Barry, is go through this. Now, I'm not going to read every verse. I'm not going to have to make an application on every one of them. Some we're going to stop and camp for a few moments, and then we'll very quickly go by a few others. But I'd like for us to take a look at this and see what the psalmist has to say. If you got a pen, I encourage you to take that out and underline some of these passages and maybe make some notes. Someone says, can you write in the Bible? Sure, your own. Don't write in anybody else's. But you can do that so that you might be able to look and study these things a little bit further in the future. Let's take a look at the very first verse of Psalms 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. I first need to be impressed with the fact that God's law is divine. It is from God. It's not from man. Matter of fact, Paul made that comment one time in Galatians 1 and verse 11. But I certify, brethren, that the gospel that was preached to me is not after man, for neither did I receive it of man, neither was I taught of a man, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. The law of the Lord is divine. When Moses was speaking to the people about the law of God, he would say in Exodus 20 and verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I mentioned a few moments ago in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken. God has weighed in on the affairs of man, and he's told us exactly what his will is. One time, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, and verse 13, said, I thank God without ceasing for you those in Thessalonica. For you received the words of God, or when you received the words of God, which you received of us, you did not receive them as the words of men, but as they are in truth, the words of God. If I was to ask you this morning, do you believe in the inspiration of the Bible? Most of us would probably say yes, because we know that's the right answer on the test. But do we really? Do we understand that concept? You know, a lot of people got the idea that God kind of gave his apostles some ideas, and they kind of, in their own words, wrote the Bible. Is that the inspiration of God? No way. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, Paul said, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Words, not ideas, not concepts, but words. An apostle made an argument one time over one letter. Remember what that letter was? The letter S. In the book of Galatians, you may recall, in chapter 3:16, Paul said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and thy seed, which is Christ. If an apostle can make an argument over one letter and a word, that gives me some insight to the inspiration of the word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. What will make us clean? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the words of God. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. How am I clean? Through the words. In the book of 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls by being obedient unto the truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of uncorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. How shall I cleanse my way? By taking heed unto thy word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know what will help you to keep from sinning? The word of God. Can you think of anybody in the New Testament that utilized the word of God to keep him from sinning? It was our Lord, wasn't it? You remember back in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10? Satan came to him and tempted him three times. Why three? You know, those are the avenues, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. What did Jesus say every time he was tempted? It is written. The best defense against sinning is knowing the word of God, so that when we're faced with temptation, we can say, now God has said, in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. What could keep us from sinning? It's the word of God. Are you reading that word? Are you concerned about the temptation and you fall into it? Take heed unto his word. Go on down a little bit further in the chapter this time. I want you to take a look at verse 28 with me. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness Strengthen thou me according to thy word. The word of God will make you strong. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong are you spiritually? Now, don't say that out loud. Think about it for yourself. Scale 1 to 10, where are you? I want you to appreciate here this morning that if you're not as strong as you wish to be, it probably has something to do with you feeding upon the word. Because the word of God strengthens. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, act like a man. Be strong. Did you know being strong is a command of God? It is. And the way that I can be strong spiritually is through his word. Isn't that interesting? Ronnie, go down to verse 41. Let thy mercies come upon me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Where do I find salvation today? It's in his word. Without his word, there is no salvation. Matter of fact, I read in Psalms 3 and verse 8 that salvation belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord that grants salvation. And we read of it in his word. You may recall one time Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 68. He had asked his disciples, hey, are you going to leave me as well? And you may recall the words of the apostle Peter. Where are we going to go? You have the words of everlasting life. The words of God is where I find salvation. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now watch it. Which is able to save your soul. The words of God is where I find salvation. So you begin to understand this morning as we begin to catalog the word of God and see more clearly what it means to you and me in our life. O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Go down to verse 50 this time in Psalms 119. Underline that word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has made me alive. The word of God is comforting. It's read at funerals. I don't know how many funerals I've done over the years. I've had folks make all kinds of requests. Poems, anecdotes. Don't mention God. Don't read scripture. I do it anyway. Because the words of God are comforting. What do you think the most favorite passage is that people like to have read at funerals? Probably Psalms 23, don't you imagine? David pictures himself as a shepherd boy watching over his sheep. And he thinks, you know what, the Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me, before mine enemies. He anoint my head with oil. My cup, it runs over. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Comforting words. Comfort me according to thy word. Notice verse 74. Psalms 119, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Our hope is found in the words of God. Without it, we have no hope. Do you remember anyone who had hope? Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by those who are called circumcision, that at one time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We now have that hope in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, a passage we referred to this morning in our Bible lesson. Paul there said, I would have you not sorrow as others who have what? No hope. Words. Paul, matter of fact, one time in Romans 8 and verse 20 said, chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope." How does that work? Do we say, "Well, I hope I'm saved"? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. No. It is a confident expectation. The word hope in the Greek, E-L-P-I-S, it literally means a confident expectation. I have a confidence. I expect the things that God has promised, He will deliver. Not only will He deliver, He's promised that I can have confidence in them. Does anybody else here fish, or is it just me? I like to fish. Well, I tell you what, I get in trouble sometimes. My brother, if I say I fish in a boat, they say, "No, there's no fish in the boat." If I say I fish out of the boat, they say, "Well, then you're all wet." I use a boat to fish. How's that? And what if you're fishing and all of a sudden they start biting? What would you like to do? If you're like me, you just like to stop right there, right? And tell you what we typically do. We throw out an anchor so it'll hold us firm, so the wind can't blow me off from where I'm at. And what I want you to appreciate here this morning, that's what hope is like for you and I. The Hebrew writer said that there's two immutable things which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have, listen, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. "Thou art my hiding place," David said. "I hope in thy word." Notice verse 86 of Psalms 189. Psalms 119 in verse 86. There the scripture says, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me." I want you to appreciate here the word of God is faithful. It's dependable. You can rely upon it. What it said yesterday, it says today. It'll say tomorrow. What it said to your great-grandfather, it will say to your great-great-grandchildren. If the Lord will allow the world to continue to stand. The Hebrew writer says, "For the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Steadfast. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Why? Because God is faithful in this context. He's talking about His second coming. He is faithful. What I said, I'm going to do. I hope that each and every one of us here this morning will go away with a greater appreciation of the Word of God. It is faithful. But also notice verse 89. Very interesting idea in regards to the Word of God. Verse 89. "Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Word of God is settled. What's that mean? That means the matter is closed. It is settled. Does the church have a headquarters? Absolutely. In heaven, where its head now sits at the right hand of God. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Whatever you shall bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you've loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What do you think that means? For example, someone says, "Well, the apostles got together and decided what they would loose and bind." No, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is settled. For how long? Forever. Where at? Heaven. The Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Notice verse 98. Psalms 119. "Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies." The word of God will make thee wise. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, you may recall that Paul there says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation." From a child, Timothy had been taught the Scripture by who? Do you remember who? By his grandmother and his mom, right? His grandmother and his mom, Lois and Eunice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Do you know what a good source for a child to learn the Scriptures is? The grandmother. Grandmother. We teach in the young to help them to be wise unto salvation. Paul says, "I know what kind of person you are because I know the type of person your grandmother and your mommy was." Can that be said of us? Look at verse 105. That might be a passage you might even have memorized. Psalms 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is a light. Do we need light? You better believe we need it. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it's not within man that walks to direct his own steps. You know, God has given us the ability to choose, but God has not given us the ability to direct. I must be guided. Let me say it again. God has given you the ability to choose, but he's not given you the ability to direct your own steps. It's not within man to direct his own steps. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death. Proverbs 14 and 12. Where are we going to go in this world? How should I walk? How should I guide my steps? According to thy word. You see? See how important the word of God is in your life. Notice verse 140 of Psalms 119. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loveth it. Pure. Is that pure? No. Very pure. How pure? 99 and 44, 100 pure? No. Very pure. The word of God is very pure. How much error can I put into truth and still have truth? You ever thought about that? I've had friends and family go to a denominational church and they'll hear some preacher there preaching and they'll come back and say, well, he preached 98% truth. And you're right. That's about all error is. A lot of times, error might be 95% truth and then 5% error. How many people here like cornbread? You got one over here. Anybody up? How about on this side? Got anybody over here who will admit to liking cornbread? Cornbread is made from cornmeal. You know what rat poisoning is? It's 98% cornmeal, 2% poison. Now, I put that in a bowl. Do you have cornbread or do you have rat poison? You see, the word of God is pure. It's very pure. Adding anything to it or taking it away makes a poison to the soul. Thy word is very pure. Notice verse 142. Psalms 119. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The word of God is the truth. No matter what the subject, the word of God is the truth. Didn't someone ask one time, what is truth? I think his name was Pilate. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Thy word is truth from the beginning. Psalm 119 and verse 60. The sum of thy word is truth, 139 and verse 17. You see, that's where a lot of folks mess up. I preach a sermon sometimes called Sum It All Up. Why? Because some people will pick and choose and take things out of the Word of God. They'll take it out of context. And what I got to do is if I want to know the truth of the matter on a given subject, I see everything God has said about it, and I'll be able to see the truth. And it will be that, by the way. It will be the truth. When you and I study the Word of God and we teach others the Word of God, what you're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. And finally, look at verse 172. Psalms 119 and verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments or righteousness. Sometimes people get confused about what it means to work righteousness. Well, what it means to obey God's commands, because that's what righteousness is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God in salvation. Those who believe it, he said, the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein what? The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel reveals God's commands. The word righteousness is really just two words and a suffix, right? Wise-ness. Wise meaning way, like in Matthew 1, verse 18. And the birth of Jesus was on this wise. In other words, it was this way. Right-way-ness. And the word of God, his commands, is the right way. Peter said in Acts 10, verse 34, I put in every nation, he that feareth him, listen, and works righteousness, is accepted by him. Fear God and keep his commandments. That sounds like a familiar passage. That's Ecclesiastes 12:13. I wonder if Peter had that in mind. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I want you to have a better appreciation of the Word of God. I want you to see clearly the power of the Word of God, that it's the law of the Lord, that it will cleanse the soul, keep it from sin, strengthen you. It's where salvation is found, where it comforts. The hope that we have through the Word of God, it is faithful. It is settled forever in heaven. It will make you wise. It's the light unto your faith. It is very pure. It's the truth. And it's the righteousness that each and every one of us need to work. And if we've learned this lesson here this morning, then I think our time will have been spent very profitably. You listen well. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to these words of Jesus when he said, go into the world and preach the good news to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. That's the truth. Those are promises of God, and it's faithful, and it's been settled in heaven. If you've not done that, you need to do that here this morning. Repenting of your sin, come forward, make the good confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. Matthew 10:32 and Acts 2 and verse 38. Maybe it is you've done that. There's something else that we can help you do to help you get back on a straight narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're ready, willing, and able to do it if the Lord will allow it. We extend the invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me anyway, come forward now as we stand and we sing. Would you be